This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, January 31st. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Attention passengers, it's report card time for the airlines. After the pandemic crippled the air industry for most of 2020, carriers were cleared for takeoff in 2021. Now it's time to check out The Wall Street Journal's ranking of the best and worst airlines to see which ones were up for the challenge.
Some airlines really ramped up their schedules and then found that they ran into problems with weather and staffing issues as they were trying to meet demand from customers.
So which airlines passed with flying colors? Coming up, we'll talk with our travel reporter, Allison Poley, and find out which airlines offer the best value for your money. That's after the break.
This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Passengers returned to the friendly skies in droves last year as pandemic travel restrictions were lifted, and that put airlines to the test. So how'd they do? WSJ travel reporter Allison Poley is here with results from our 14th annual ranking of airlines. Hey, Allison, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Allison, people coming back from lockdown to travel last year ended up running into delays and various other issues with the airlines. Before we get to the results, can you just walk us through how the journal put together the rankings and what kind of things did you take into account?
So there are seven categories that we look at, and those categories have data from MassFlight, which is an aviation data platform, as well as the Department of Transportation. And so to calculate the rankings, we look at seven categories and weight them each equally. And those categories are on-time arrivals, canceled flights, extreme delays, which means delays 45 minutes or longer, two-hour tarmac delays, mishandled baggage, involuntary bumping, and complaints.
All right, well, let's not beat around the bush anymore. Which carriers finished on top and which carriers didn't fare so well?
So this year, Delta finished in first place, and they had the top spot in five of the seven categories that we look at when we evaluate the airlines. So they reclaimed that spot after Southwest finished in first last year, and this year Southwest fell to third place. And in last this year was JetBlue.
So, you know, Allison, as travel restrictions eased last year, airlines rolled out pretty ambitious flight schedules. How did that affect their rankings?
There was mixed success. So some airlines really ramped up their schedules and then found that they ran into problems with weather and staffing issues as they were trying to meet demand from customers. Others were a little bit more conservative in the number of flights that they planned, of course, still had to deal with weather and other staffing challenges as well, but maybe weren't stretched quite as thin.
Now, the number of complaints an airline received from passengers is a factor in their ranking. Who did well in that department, and who caught the ire of customers last year?
This year, Delta placed first in complaints, meaning they had the fewest, and Southwest was second, very close behind, with the fewest rate of complaints. Spirit Airlines finished last, meaning that they had the highest rate of complaints per 100,000 passengers, which is the number that we look at. Across all of the airlines, as with last year, a lot of the complaints that we saw were for refunds or people talking about issues with their flights.
Yeah, and you mentioned Delta finished first in five of seven categories. I remember as part of last year's rankings, they only bumped five passengers in 2020. How'd they do this time around?
Even better. This year, they didn't involuntarily bump a single passenger during the 12 months that we looked at. But the key is
Hold on. Even with the ramp up in travelers last year, they didn't bump a single passenger?
Not involuntarily, not a single one.
How'd they do that?
So I spoke to Delta and they said they take a measured approach to allowing oversales, But the key is they offer incentives for passengers to change their flights voluntarily if need be. And those are monetary incentives. So someone might get an offer when they get to the airport. There'll be a certain amount listed that they can take if they'd like to change to a later flight. And then if there are passengers at the gate and it's necessary, an agent will make an announcement and try to get volunteers that way. So Delta did have the highest rate of passengers voluntarily changing their plans during that 12-month period. But Delta says this is a win for the customers who volunteer because they get this added value toward future travel, and Delta customers don't get bumped involuntarily.
Now, another one of the airlines that jumped out at me in the rankings was American, which finished sixth, but that's after they placed last or next to last in the past couple of years. What are they doing better?
This year, American made improvements in the percentage of on-time arrivals that they had compared to other airlines, and they had a lower rate of those extreme delays, which are 45 minutes or longer, compared to the other airlines. So American Airlines had a pretty difficult month in June due to severe weather. I spoke to American's COO, and he said what they did was emphasize their hiring process, making sure it was streamlined so that way they could get their staff in place and be able to stick to the schedule that they set. And so he pointed to American's performance over the holidays as an area that showed their signs of improvement. So in the month of December, American canceled approximately 1.2% of flights, and even Delta canceled about 2.5% because it had to deal with winter weather and Omicron infections among employees.
And then on the other end of the scale is JetBlue. You mentioned they finished last, and they've actually fallen in the rankings the past 3 years, and they've expanded their service quite a bit in the past year and a half. Where are they coming up short?
In the past year and a half, JetBlue has expanded at airports like Los Angeles International, LaGuardia, and Newark. And in the rankings, which cover most of 2021, JetBlue ranked last in extreme delays and two-hour tarmac delays, and near last in on-time arrivals and complaints. A JetBlue spokesman said the airline ramped up its staffing, facilities, and equipment to near pre-pandemic levels faster than other airlines, and there were construction projects at some of the airports I just mentioned where they have expanded service. The Northeast also had bad summer weather where the airline has a lot of flights, and over the holidays, JetBlue had a large number of Omicron sick calls. And they said, especially in the Northeast, where more than 75% of their crew members are based.
Okay, so given all the issues over the past year, how are airlines hoping to make 2022 work more smoothly? And what lessons have the carriers learned?
They've learned the importance of staffing, especially with the emergence of variants. So a lot of the airlines I spoke to have emphasized how they are hiring more staff to make sure that they can run their schedules into this year, and especially in summer of 2022 when demand is expected to be high. They're also taking a look at their schedule to make sure that they're not running too ambitiously. They still want to meet demand, of course, but want to make sure that they have the staff in place so they aren't canceling flights.
Now, I want to note that ticket cost is not a factor in coming up with these rankings, but it's also not cheap to fly. How can these rankings help passengers budget their trip? You know, choose between a legacy airline and a discount brand?
For a lot of customers, it does come down to price at the end of the day, but people do have airlines that they rely on and that they love or loathe. These rankings are based on objective data, so on-time performance, delays, etc. Consumers can take a look at these and factor it in. If they have a few airlines to choose from, maybe they want to go with the airline that has a better percentage of on-time arrivals. There might be less likelihood that they'd be delayed or get a canceled flight, depending on those rankings. But at the end of the day, for a lot of customers, it does come down to price and personal preference, which aren't factored into the rankings, but the objective data can help people take a look and make decisions that are best for them.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal travel reporter Allison Poley. Allison, it's been terrific having you with us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.